Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chembao. Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba, Yeshua. Lion of Judah, Agune Chemba.
Prophet Deborah Ramos of Food for the Journey International Ministries welcome you to our evening Bible study. Glory to God. I'm welcoming you, everyone, and we're going to have an interesting topic tonight we want to talk about. But before I get into our teaching, I want you to understand that Food for the Journey International Ministry is a ministry that's preparing people for the journey of life and into eternity through the ministry of what Jesus did, preaching, teaching, and casting out devils. So glory to God. So tonight we're going to be talking about, we're going to be studying victory over satanic strategies and principles of spiritual warfare. How many of you know that we are in a battle in this world? We are in a spiritual warfare battle. I know many people may not see it that way, but every second of every day, the enemy is engaging us in some type of battle. We have to understand that if you are a born-again believer living as light and salt of the earth, the enemy is coming after you. Amen. Amen. We see that the enemy is coming after those who are not saved, but he's coming after us who are saved even more in these last days. How many of you know that we're living in the last days? We have to understand that we cannot stop Satan's cruel attack, but he doesn't have to win because the Lord has given us weapons of warfare. And we as Christians, we need to learn how to use the weapons of warfare in a battle. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high and lofty places, talking about heavenly places. Understand that the enemy is engaging us. He's engaging you. He's engaging me. He's engaging our children every day. Just look at what's going on in the world and society today, and we know that the enemy is dead. We see the increase in violence, the increase of killings, the increase of all type of horrific activities that are taking place in the world. Some things are so devastating that people block them out and act as if they're not happening. But we have to understand that the enemy is constantly engaging in warfare. And can I tell you that the devil is ruthless? He doesn't care if you have prepared yourself through prayer. He doesn't care if by the prayer. He does not care. He is ruthless. You have to understand that Satan hates all of humanity with a perfect hate. Understand that the world we live in, this system. See, we're talking about a system. There is a system. When the Bible says that the whole world lies in wickedness, what God is saying that the system of the world, this system that we live in, is wicked. It is devious. It is so depraved. And so we have to understand that there is a system in play, and the king over that system is Satan. And his number one job is to engage us, the church, because he's looking after he wants our heart, soul, and our mind. Satan is constantly taking the of people. And so one of the greatest weapons that Satan is using against people is sex. And so we need to understand why the enemy is engaging in sex. We know that there's a lot of things taking place. People are having all type of paralysis. People are being attacked by marine spirits and from the aquatic kingdom, from the water kingdom. And so we need to understand. So this teaching tonight we're going to do two parts tonight. The first part we're going to get into, we're going to talk about victory over the satanic strategy. We need to break down and we need to pull down the strategies of the enemy. So let us start off with prayer, and then we're going to get into our teaching. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God. Father God, we just thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this time of studying your word. Father God, we pray for fresh revelation, insight in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to remove any spiritual blindness, any spiritual deafness in the name of Jesus. Father God, plead the blood of Jesus over this environment, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over these lines, over all those who have assigned to come to hear the teaching, God, in the name of Jesus. Let every demonic blockage, Lord God, be removed in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that any satanic, wicked, witchcraft powers that are trying to block this teaching, Father God, that you will release your indignation upon them right now in the name of Jesus. I take the spear of the Lord and I pierce every heart of every witch, warlock, wizard that will try to send incantations or curses against this teaching in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I ask that you remove every false way, every enemy, Lord God, of my assignment tonight, which is to teach the people, Father God, Lord God, how to see and see, Lord God, and discern the strategies of the enemy in these dark and evil days. And Father God, we always give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as I said before, we're going to examine the strategies so that we can have victory over the satanic strategies of the enemy. How many of you know that the enemy is a strategist? He don't just go haphazardly after you. Sits down with his team of demonic entities, and they come up with a plan on how to take people out. Imagine that. We are in a real warfare with a real enemy. So we're going to examine how the devil has succeeded in perverted sex, how Satan uses sex as a weapon of spiritual slavery. Sex, we have to understand, is ordained by God for living things like human beings and animals. But how many of you know that the enemy, Satan, and his kingdom and his creatures are constantly engaging humanity with in the act of sex, using sex as a weapon? What comes to, let us get into our teaching. So what comes to mind when you know that spirits are trying to get into you through that realm? What do you think about when you realize, like, for example, if you have a dream or you're sleeping and you feel something touch you, what do you think? Why should spirit beings veer into sex? Why do you think they want to have sex with enemies? Remember that the Bible says that the enemy only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So why would the enemy want to have sex with human beings? My God, why are evil spirits bent on having carnal knowledge of men and women? We see this all the way back in Genesis 6. It talks about that the enemy came in and he had sex with women. Let us go over and let us go. We're going to read scripture. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to follow the flow of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6. Glory to God. Lord Jesus. Let us go. I'm going to use my King James just a second. I was in my amplifier, but we want to use the King James. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 6. Why is it? Here we go. Okay, we're having a little problem with our phone. Why is this not going? Genesis chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's start at Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. It says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So what did the Bible say? I'm going to get the Amplified. Let's read that again. There were Nephilim. The Amplified version says, there were Nephilim, men of stature, notorious men on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God, in this case, fallen angels, lived with the daughters of men, and they gave birth to their children. My God, these were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown, great reputation and fame. The Lord said the wickedness, the depravity of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Doesn't that sound like the days that we're living in? If you just even watch the news, you would see the increase of violence and wickedness. Understand, people are being engaged by evil spirits. Evil spirits are having sex with them. This is nothing new. This is biblical. This is in our Bible, that the angels, the fallen angels, were coming and they were sleeping with humanity. But the question we have to ask, what is the purpose of them coming to have carnal knowledge with women? Women and men. Understand this. Can they go into this act without having a purpose at the back of their mind? Let's examine some scriptures here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. 32. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Now, the revelation of this passage we have just read is this: is that sexual intimacy is a mystery. It defines human logic. It is a spiritual action. Understand, sex is a spiritual action. When two people come together sexually, both become one flesh. Understand it anytime. So it doesn't mean that if you're married and you have sex, you become one. No, anytime. So the question is, when entities, devils and demons are having sex with people, are they becoming one? Well, according to the scripture, if you have sex, you become one. Understand this. So intimacy is a mystery. It defines human logic. It is a spiritual action. When two people come together sexually, both become one flesh. It can be either positive or negative. When you have sex with a particular person, you become one flesh, spiritually speaking. This unity can be a blessing or a curse. If you sleep with your wife, you become one with her in a positive sense. But if you sleep with anybody besides your wife or husband, it becomes negative. My God, another passage. Let's keep going. Let's keep reading. It says, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? That's a question. God forbid. What? Know you not that ye which is joined to a harlot is one body? So when you sleep with somebody outside of marriage, the Bible considers them a harlot. That's the first thing. And you are joining yourself with a harlot. Now, in this sense, the harlot could be a man or a woman. Because a woman that goes sleeps with a man, she becomes one with him. And a man that sleeps with a woman becomes one with her. It says, for two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Glory to God. So he says, flee fornication. Every sin that man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication or adultery sinned against his own body. So when you go and sleep with somebody outside of marriage, you are sinning against your body. Now stay with me. I'm going somewhere in this teaching. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Talking about the believer. So we know that Paul is talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. Because how can the Holy Spirit live in us? In us, if we are not born again, if we have not received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So Paul is talking to believers. He said, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? In other words, what are you doing fornicating or having adultery? Don't you know that the Holy Ghost is in you, and those people you are sleeping with, you becoming one with them when you're supposed to be one with God in the spirit? My God, he says, ha, Jesus, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. What are you doing fornicating or committing adultery? You're not your own. If you are born again believer, you belong to Christ. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. My God, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 15 to 20. And our foundational scripture is 1 Corinthians 6:15. So Paul the apostle, a man who was divinely endowed with insight into spiritual mystery, gives us an eye-opening into this mystery of sex. Wow. Glory to God. We see the above passage suggests that Paul wonder why Christians in his day lacked the proper knowledge concerning the spiritual realities behind sex. In other words, Paul was why they didn't get it. He wanted to know why they didn't understand all the significance of having sex with somebody. Twice he he cued. What? No, you not. In six short verses, he expected them to know that sex goes beyond physical enjoyment. Understand that sex is a covenant. It is a deep spiritual act capable of enslaving forever those who blindly go into it illegally. So if you go into having sex illegally, you become enslaved, and it could keep you enslaved for the rest of your life. Whew. The fact is that many people are completely ignorant of the fact that there is a spiritual mystery behind sex. People don't get it. That's why people take sex so lightly. That's why people are asleep with one person in the morning and somebody else in the afternoon. They just don't get it that they are enslaving themselves, that they're becoming one with each and every person that they come in contact with. That's why it's so important that when you become a believer, you renounce all the partners you had in the back, all the relationships you had in your past. Ask God to sever and burn every soul tie. Because according to scripture, you have become one with them. And it doesn't just disappear. See, this is the problem with the church. We believe in abracadabra, witchcraft and all this stuff like this. But no, these are things that have to be severed in prayer. We have to plead the blood of Jesus. Understand this. A single act of sex is capable of joining your body, your soul, and your spirit with that of another, regardless of who the person is. Modern day believers may be ignorant of this fact, but Satan and his demons are not. We don't get it, but how about that Satan and his kid and his demons get it? That's why the night raiders, the night crawlers, the night creatures are waiting for people to go to sleep to have sex with them, because they come into making it, to make you, to bring you into the covenant with darkness. Understand that they're significantly aware of what takes place during sexual intercourse. This is why they are continually using it as an evil weapon of dragging careless men and women into deep bondage. We have to understand. Let me just give you a side note. If you have a dream that you have had sex with someone in a dream, don't just say that it's dream. Don't be an ignorant Christian, but be informed. Know that you need to fall down on your knees and go into warfare. Plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. Plead the blood of Jesus over that encounter. Ask the Lord Jesus to uproot whatever was planted, because the enemy has come. If a night raider came to sleep with you and you had sex, he came to bring something. Satan never comes to just come. He's coming on a demonic assignment, and he's coming to bring something. And he may be bringing sickness, infirmity, and disease. And he's coming to pollute you and your life. Make no mistake about that. Don't be ignorant. Anytime you have a sexual dream, you have to renounce it and denounce the activity. Ask, call down the fire of God to burn up any soul ties to that dream, to that entity that came to that stranger. Ask God to destroy the stranger. You have to go into serious warfare, people of God. Wake up. I don't care what preacher told you. You don't have to do. Let them stay in bondage. But you need to be an informed Christian and know that you don't just have sexual dreams. It is something taking place. You are becoming one with darkness. You have to deal with it. Glory to God. Understand that Satan's kingdom know that when they use intercourse, when they have sex with humanity, that just like in Genesis 6, when they had sex with those women, they impregnated them. They had babies. Understand, they had the giants. Understand, they had the Nephilim. This is serious stuff. So the enemy may not be having babies with you, but the enemy is coming to have something. Let me tell you something. When they have sex with human beings, babies may not manifest in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, they have a family. We have to get this right, people. Understand, this is serious. This is why the enemy knows that what the magnitude of them having sex with a human being. This is why they continue to use it as an evil weapon of dragging careless men and women into deep bondage. Why are they careless? Because they're ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Sex is so powerful that it unites the spirit and soul. The power of sex is so awesome that the devil has chosen it as his chief instrument against humanity. Clearly, the Bible is clear that sex is a powerful tool, and it's used, what God uses it for, humans and for animals to procreate, and for people, married people, to have enjoyment. But also the enemy uses it as a weapon. That's why you see everything on TV, everything you see in the media, all the songs, is sex, sex. We are over inundated with sexualized things. Why? Because the enemy is taking sex and using it. That's why so many young children are having sex. They're having babies. They're out here so provocative. Everything is so sexualized. Why? Because the kingdom of darkness, this system operates. The world system that's lying in wickedness, its chief weapon is sex. Its cheap weapon to use is sex against humanity, to drag people into slavery. It's very powerful according to scripture. Understand this. The only other thing that has this kind of power is the blood covenant. The only more powerful covenant than a covenant of sex is the blood covenant. My God, this explains why men often find it difficult to break away from certain relationships. Now, you ever notice how people be in relationships that are bad relationships, that the people always fighting it again, but then you keep seeing they keep going back to the person, keep going back. Understand that there's a covenant there. People go, they don't want to be with that person. They know that person is bad for them, but they keep going back because they become one with the harlot according to scripture. My God. Lord Jesus, let's keep going here. I pray that you're getting something. I pray that you're taking note. This is a very serious topic that needs to be taught. People need to understand how serious this is. How can you break away from a relationship when you are involved in something that is spiritual in nature? Even if you take physical actions, the power behind that mystery of sex will not release you. Sleeping with many partners will end up fragmenting your soul. And I'm not saying this to frighten you, but I want you to understand that many lives are fragmented because they have shared their bodies and souls with so many people. My God, understand that. So many, when people have sex with many, many people, they're leaving parts of their soul with the person. Why? It talks about soul ties. Such people will never be able to hold themselves together except they go through deliverance. When you've had sex with people and so many people, you become fragmented. The only thing that's going to help you is you need to find you a deliverance minister, and you need to go through deliverance. You need God to heal your soul. You need to be delivered from the demons, from the spirits that come in because you open your door to a curse. Understand, a lot of people have sold their virtues and prosperity through involvement with spirit husbands and wives. Just as marriage is a covenant binding two people together, sex is also capable of binding two partners. Anyone who wants to continue committing immorality should be ready to pay the price of becoming fragmented. So many people brag about it. I done slept with 50 people. I done slept with 100 people. And they, each part of those people have a part of your soul. That's why many people, when they move from one relation to another, they still have nostalgia. They still long, and they still remember all the times they would slept with the other person. That means that you left some of your soul with that person. Understand that. My God. Therefore, when an evil spirit decides to lead people into bondage, it attacks such victims by abusing them sexually. The moment a spirit wife or husband succeeds in having sex with you in your dream, you're automatically joined with that wicked spirit. Your life will become fragmented. understanding. The better part of your life, your virtue, your goodness, and prospects will be kept in a demonic bank. Understand. And we're talking about in the spiritual realm. Understand that the spiritual realm is more real than this real realm. And there are activities in the spirit realm. Understand that. Understand, you will not be able to make progress physically since your virtue has been stolen and deposited under an evil altar. Understand, there are altars. From the beginning, God had altars. Altars were good. We see in the Bible, God, anytime someone wanted to, God would bless his people. They would build an altar and make a sacrifice. An altar is a good thing. But how many of you know that the devil is a copycat? So understand that in the spirit realm, there are demonic altars and there are sacrifices being made in the realm of the spirit on those demonic altars. And we understand that. We should understand that. You will put up a lot of action without achieving any results. My God, that is the only price to pay. You may even experience untimely death. There are many people that have died prematurely. Why? Because the enemy has put them in bondage through sex. And what happens? If you're under a curse, some curses are premature death. This is very serious thing. My God. Before that happened, you could have a contract, a spiritual marriage with the spirit. You will suffer the consequences. The only place that really don't believe in things like this is America. When you go to the other countries like Africa and Haiti and Santo Domingo and even over in China and all these, they know about these spirits. But in America, we so prideful. We don't believe that these things are real. But just because you don't believe these things are real does not make them less real. Understand it. It only makes you an uninformed Christian, an ignorant Christian. What does ignorant mean? Mean lack of knowledge. Glory to God. So let's keep understanding. I'm trying to break this down so that you can understand it. So once the enemy has enslaved a person and they deposited and made a sacrifice on an evil altar, and what does the enemy do? What did we say? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there are things that happen once an evil altar has been put in place and sacrifices have been made against you. My God, Jesus, you will suffer consequences of that evil marriage without being able to trace it to the sex dream. Many people understand that they have dreams, and when they wake up, they forgot those dreams. But understand, just because you forget the dream does not mean that it didn't happen. Understand that wicked spirit husband and wives have one goal, and that's to pollute the life of the victim. When the Nephilim, when the fallen angels came down in Genesis 6, they had one thing in mind, to pollute humanity. To corrupt the lives of the people. And what happened when they began to have sex with the people that was of the land? Remember, the fallen angels were spirit beings. Just like in Genesis, there are demons, spirit husband and wives. And why do they call them spirit and husbands and wives? Because the first time they have sex with you, they create a covenant and they consider themselves married to you. That's why when you go through deliverance, you got to break the marriage license. You got to burn to ashes the marriage license, the dowry, the rings, the pictures, whatever a marriage had. You have to go to warfare to be set free from those things. Just like in Genesis 6. Understand, the Bible says that there is nothing new under the sun. They were doing it back, and it says that it was there was giants in the land before the flood and after the flood. And so we have to understand that these spirits are still in the earth. They're in the second heaven, they're in the earth realm, and they're under the earth. But they are still active, just like they were active in Genesis 6. Understand, and they engage the women in Genesis 6 through sex. And they're engaging humanity through sex in these last and evil days. Understand, wicked spirit husband and wives have one goal, to pollute the life of the victim. Understand, they polluted the lives of the people in Genesis 6 to the point that all they can think about is wickedness and evilness. The thoughts and intents of mankind was always evil. Doesn't that make you want to think what's going on in the land today? Just maybe all this violence and wickedness in the land is because this is the effect of what happened to people who the enemy has come into their dreams, to the young people, and had sex with them. Just maybe this is a sign of the fallen ones again, the fallen angels acting out in the lives of the people. Because truly this earth, if we look at it, we pull back the veil and really take a harsh look, we can see it appears that the thoughts and intents of mankind is always wicked. Every day you hear another shooting, another rape, another trafficking of a person, another parents killing their kids. What is going on? We have to see this is all the product of these angels, these wicked demons having sex with humanity. This is the result. The thoughts and intents of the hearts of mankind is constantly wicked. Jesus, my God. My God, glory to God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. So as I said, the only thought, the only goal is to pollute the life of the victim. Demonic spouses operate like mosquitoes. They spread evil viruses. That is why we call them spiritual rape. They attack their victims when they know that the resistance or refusal is impossible. They only come when you're sleeping. Well, that's not the only time. They could come other times. They normally carry out their survey or research in an intelligent manner. Remember, I said from the beginning that the devil and his kingdom are strategists. They sit down and they contemplate when is the best time to attack their victim. They come in your dreams as a beautiful woman or a beautiful man or somebody you have a crush on and they have sex with you. Make no mistake, if you had sex in the dream, you have a demonic covenant. And yes, they come to attack believers, Christians. Yes, they do. My God. The question which normally comes up in their mind is how they can make their fellow a candidate of spiritual bondage, or how they can pollute the fact of life. Of course, the answer is clear. It is clear. Introduction of spiritual sex. Here lies 90% of the problems of marriages which spinsters, bachelors, and married people have. They cause women never to get married. That's one of their strategies, so that person could always end up being a spinster. They cause men to always be bachelors. They cause married people, marriages to fail. The Bible states that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Your light cannot burn bright except there is a link between your spirit and the spirit of God. My God, the devil knows that your spirit is very important. Let me give you the scripture for that. The Bible says that the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. That's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Just write that down and you can look it up later. Amen. This is why he has, my God, released myriads of candle polluters into the world. These spirits have continued to obey their master, the devil. They are ready to pollute as many lives as possible. This is very serious. This is why you must command these wicked spirits to release the candle of your life. If you allow them to pollute your candle, the totality of your life will be polluted. This is why it's so important that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. It's time to rise up and fight. It's time to fight. Amen. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And it says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical. And I'm reading for the Amplified. Physical weapons of the flesh and blood. Our weapons are divine. Powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that we have spiritual weapons. We are dealing with spiritual entities, but we have spiritual weapons. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now this next part, we're going to talk about principles of spiritual warfare. As we started out from the beginning, we said that we are, before we get to this part, let us take a quick break. We want to take a quick break, and then we're going to get back to the second part of our teaching. We're just going to play a little song, and then we're going to come right back to this teaching.
What an honor to be invited to the marriage of the Lamb, to come and worship Him. Celebration, it's the joining of the bride and the Son, the two becoming one. All the prophecies fulfilled in a moment, so we see. Like aurora, many waters, like the sound of rolling thunder. Hallelujah, give Him glory.
Of the Lamb is coming. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're so excited because we know one day the Lord is coming to catch us away. Amen, hallelujah. So we're going to continue our teaching, and part is going to come. We're going to talk about principles of spiritual warfare and our foundation of scripture for this part. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 10. And it says, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, it says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw your strength from Him, and be empowered through your union with Him, and in the power of His boundless might. Let's go to verse 11. We're going to finish at 12. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavy armed soldier. Glory to God. So that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness and the heavenly supernatural places. My God. So the word of God tells us clearly who our enemy is, what is contending with us. Glory to God. Now, in this, Paul demonstrates the power of Christ in his ministry. Peter demonstrated the power of the risen Christ. Those who confront Paul and Peter either drop dead or were led away blind. My God, you can never lead a peaceful protest against witches and wizards and succeed. Understand that you can never lead a peaceful protest against witches and wizards and succeed. Warfare is never about peace. Get that straight now. In fact, if peace is desire, war is. In other words, in order to have peace in your life, peace with your children, peace with your family, you're going to have to go to war. Why? Because we know that we have an enemy. Your health will never know peace if you refuse to declare war on the powers attacking it. This is also true of your finance, your progress, your career, your ministry, your marriage, anything in your life. The enemy is going to try to contend with you. He's going to try to destroy it. He's going to try to take it away. Understand that. If the whole world carried place cards and preached peaceful protests against witches and wizards singing, all we are saying, stop, with a sign saying, stop drinking blood, the protest would never work. Understand that. We have to declare war on the enemies and you will have peace. Your destiny is the prized possession and we cannot play with that. The enemy wants your soul at all means necessary. Understand this. Wild animals fight fiercely to keep their territories in integrity. Even domestic animals do the same. A dog resident in an area will ward off all intruding dogs and even intruders that will try to come into the house. It will bark, snarl, and bite and wound the intruding dogs or person trying to get into their territory. Understand that chickens do the same. Everything God created is conscious of the power and the essence of territory integrity. If animals declare war against themselves, why should you fold your arms and watch the devil intrude into all areas of your life? Why are we not fighting? We have to rise and fight for our children. We have to rise and fight for what God has ordained is ours. God has given promises. We have to war for the release, and God has given us prophetic words. We have to understand that in the realms of the spirit, there is demonic blockage. There are demonic walls barricaded. Even Daniel gives us an example. And Daniel, the first time Daniel prayed for his people, when the time for the end of the 70 years, Daniel began to warfare for the release of his people. And what happened? The prince of Persia, there were demonic demons that were blocking his progress, blocking the progress of his people. Understand that the same thing, God has made promises to you and your family, and they have not come to pass. Just maybe, just like with Daniel, there are demonic forces that are standing blocking. That's why we have to pray. That's why we have to do warfare. Understand, wars are not won by words. They are won by force. Understand that. By strength, by aggression, by power, and by violence. That's how wars are won. This is because the enemy himself has come to kill, to steal, and destroy. John 10:10. Understand it. If you do not fight and prevail, the enemy will accomplish this threefold mission in your life and your children's life. It is so ignorant to think that we do not have to fight when God has clearly given us scripture. As a matter of fact, when we read Bible. The Bible is full of wars. The Bible is full of fighting and violence. Why? Because there's, from the Genesis to Revelation, there's a war against good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness. It is continuous and on until Jesus, Jesus takes his church to the millennial reign, to the new heaven and earth. Understand that. There is nothing new, my God. The enemy, he only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. If you do not fight and prevail, the enemy is going to accomplish his threefold mission in your life. My God, Unfortunately, some people only arrive in church as victims of these three activities of the enemy, stealing, killing, and destruction in their lives. Understand, there are principles behind successful warfare. They are applicable to the battle in the invisible realm. So let's examine two of these principles tonight. And then we're going to continue next week. First, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Did I write 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says in verses 8 and 9, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Let's stop there. Seeking whom he may devour. That means that Satan cannot devour everyone, but he can devour the weak. Who resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So also God wants us to understand that these same battles that we are fighting, that this is nothing new to us, that our brethren all throughout the world is fighting the same battle. In other words, Satan is not only attacking you, he's attacking all the brethren. Satan is forever fighting us. So the first principle of spiritual warfare is to locate and identify your enemy. Army. Locate, identify. Okay, you cannot fight an unknown enemy. That's the first thing. No army in any nation goes to war without first locating and identifying the enemy. So we need to locate and identify the enemy. Understand it. Spiritual warfare is a contest against spiritual beings. I call them persons without body because they can feel, they can talk, they can communicate, and they have feelings. So these are the only thing they don't have is a body. That's why they're always looking for a body, because any spirit, understand this, in the earth realm, in order to operate, the protocol is that you have to have a body. So these entities, these demons and devils, they don't have a body. So they're always seeking for a body, because outside a body, they're being tormented and beaten. Understand that. So they need a body to get rest. Okay, so that I'll explain to you the protocol in this earth realm is to have a body. So spiritual warfare is a contest against spiritual beings. They are terrible princes of darkness. They are rulers of wicked spirits in high places. They are leaders of evil. They are demonic executives. They are demonic chiefs. They are heads of institutions, demonic masterminds. They are demonic controllers and demonic strongmen. They are evil powers. They are evil intelligence. They are evil tricks. They are evil strategists. They are evil craftiness. They are evil skills. They are evil devices. They are evil schemes. They are evil counsels. And it goes on and on. These are the opposition armies that we as believers are fighting. My God. These are the evil beings that we are fighting. But we remember, as you go into battle, always remember that as great is he that's in us, which is Jesus, than he that's in the world. Yet we are soldiers. The Bible says that we are soldiers. So we cannot put that down, because clearly the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is Jesus. Understand that it is the word. And if he said that we are soldiers, then we are soldiers. So to locate and identify the enemies, you have to know who he is, how he operates, how many, the powers, what they do, and the areas they attack. The enemies, understand, the enemies are merciless beings. Do not fight them with the mind of having mercy on them. We understand that. Do not fight the enemy with having mercy. Every weapon that the Bible, the scripture has given you, you have that. There are many, understand it, in the book of Psalms, there are many scripture, many psalms that are warfare that David used. Psalm 27, Psalms 91, Psalms 18, Psalm 144, that goes on and on. There are many, many warfare prayers that you can use in your warfare against the enemy. Remember, the Bible says God teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight so that we're able to break a bow of steel. God has given us the ability to fight, understand, and he's given us weapons of warfare. Thank you, dear Jesus. So it says, the next principle after locating and identifying the enemy is to launch an offensive attack on him. Do not wait for them to strike first. Rise up against them and execute vengeance on them. We don't wait to the manifestation of the war. We go to war. We should be doing spiritual warfare daily. Every day we should be doing warfare. You don't have to wait to see the whites of their eyes. You need to be doing warfare before the battle comes. You need to be fighting. You need to be on the offensive. In other words, you're taking the battle to the enemy. You're not giving up. My God, hallelujah. When it says offensively, we need to be actively aggressive. We need to be attacking the enemy. We need to be hostile to the enemy. On offensive a military campaign against Satan. We need to be on a military, in other words, every day we're coming against Satan's kingdom. We're coming against his agenda for our lives, for our family, and all of humanity. We are fighting against that. We are pulling down principalities. We are pulling down strongholds. We're binding the strong man. We're coming against this world system. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to rise up against them and execute vengeance on them. The moment the military base or commander receives a signal from the soldiers at war that the target has been located, the next instruction that follows is to destroy. We need to destroy the enemy's territory. We need to destroy the enemy's plans over our lives. Understand, the powers of darkness and their human agents know the true believers in Christ. You cannot hide yourself, so it's better to come out now. Declare war at once. You are deceiving yourself if you think they do not know you. Understand it. You are deceiving yourself. We have to fight. My God, hallelujah. Don't be deceived. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Don't be deceived. We have more to this lesson, but I think I want to close out tonight, and I want to deal next week. It's going to be so powerful. I want to deal with the opposition, dealing with opposition by powers of darkness. And I want to go into a two-part power of that. And then we want to talk about, hallelujah, next week we're going to go in the power of prayer, how to break through in prayer to deal with these, hallelujah, deal with these powers. And we're going to talk about as well next week. We want to get into power against spiritual marriages, because we need to deal with this. We need to learn how to fight these powers. We need to use the weapons of warfare. We need to become the true soldiers that God has called us to be. It's just like the Bible says that we are a priesthood. As Christians, we need to act like the priesthood. And as soldiers, we need to act and get into our position and do what is required of the assignment that we have been given. We have been given assignment by the Lord Jesus. We are his army. Just like Satan has an army, we are the army of the Lord. We belong in God's army. We have rank. We need to get in. We need to be regimented. We need to be disciplined as soldiers. We need to really love God enough to be his active soldier. We need to stop being crazy Christian and put everything back on Jesus. Hasn't he done enough? He came. He suffered. He bled and he died and he rose on the third day to give us life life more abundantly. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, still praying, still interceding for us. Why can't we rise up and stop being lazy, ignorant Christians and understand that we have been given a blueprint on this warfare that we're in? It's called the Bible. The Bible is basic instruction before leaving earth. God has given us everything we need to live an abundant life, even though we are living in the enemy's territory. We can still have great success. We can still show people the kingdom of God. Yes, we're going to have tribulation. Yes, we're going to have problems. But guess what? Victory is in Christ Jesus. If we wage in the warfare, the enemy will not be able to devour us, our children, or anything that God has given us. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you tonight. We bless and magnify you, Lord. There is no one like you, El Gabor, mighty God, El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. Father God, you are. Your word says that you are a man of war, Father God. Your word says in Psalms 120:3 that your angels excel in strength to protect our personas, property, and possession. Father God, we thank you that as we go into warfare, we thank you for the protocol of angels, of the Most High God, the war angels, the territorial angels, the ministering angels, Father God. We thank you that we send them on divine assignment, Lord God, to slay every devil and demon, Father God, to destroy the powers of darkness over our heads and over our lives, Father God. We thank you that our heaven over our head is not brass, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Father God, for this time of teaching. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've given us what you want us to have. And so, Father God, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this teaching, Father God. And I pray every person that you assigned to hear it, Lord God, not just to hear, let it not just be another word, God, but let them study. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give them more revelation of this teaching, Father God, so they will not be the people like in Hosea, Father God, but they will not, Lord God, but they will know the truth, and the truth will make them free. And every person that they come in contact with, in Jesus' name, amen. And until our next program, may God continue to bless you and increase you and enlarge you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
together.